the Disky Chicks podcast for business leaders, HR directors, coaches, and those interested in learning how to use the DISC assessment to grow self-awareness, improve communications, and develop leaders and teams. Please welcome your hosts, business coaches Martha Forlines and Cindy Jacoby. They are loud and proud about all things DISC.
Thanks, Roger. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Season 6 of the Disky Chicks podcast. Hi, everybody. Welcome to this week's episode of the Disky Chicks. I am Cindy Jacoby, here with my co-chick, Martha Forlines. Hi, Martha. Good to see you.
Greetings, everybody.
We are wrapping up our series on the employee life cycle using the TriMetrics DNA assessment. And we have talked, we started off months ago with attraction and hiring, and have kind of gone through the gambit of how we develop employees. And our last topic for this episode is we're really going to talk about, you know, now that we have our employee or they're onboarded and we've started to develop them, what are we going to do with them? You know, we want to set a career path, not only for the employee, but for the organization. We need to develop a bench. And so how can we use assessments to develop a bench? That's what we're going to talk about today. So Martha, do you want to talk a little bit about you know, how you use assessments to
keep things
on the rail?
That's right. Well, one of the things that dawns on me with this is we're going to go back to a topic we talked about earlier, which is to build the bench, you need to benchmark the job.
Yeah.
And it's important to get the details of that done correctly with your subject matter experts to benchmark a position, especially if your organization is actually doing succession planning, then you need to have data to be able to compare a candidate's qualifications for that job that you've benchmarked that is a successor role. So we go right back to the TriMetrics DNA again, and we apply that to that whole benchmarking process. But then we have the candidates that are being considered for the promotion, assuming it's a promotion, to take the TriMetrics DNA as well. And then we had that gap report. If you listen to the first conversation we had about benchmarking, we have this wonderful report that tells you where the candidates are within the profile and when they're outside of the profile. And oftentimes, just because people don't have 100% of those competencies within the profile, and there's a behavioral component and a motivational component to it as well, then, you know, maybe they just need to be building skills up over time to be ready to be successful in that role. So it's really a wonderful tool, the benchmarking tool and the TriMetrics DNA, in comparing one candidate to the other and seeing where their strengths are and where they're not.
I don't think people really realize that, or even think to benchmark a current job that has somebody in it, right, that you're not necessarily looking to hire somebody. But think about it. If you have a bank of benchmark jobs and you have a bank of employees with their data, and you want to try to promote from within, which I think all companies want to do. As you try to build that bench, start to see who matches up. And I think you would agree, like, I think the most important things are driving forces, because that's why you come to work.
It's their motivator.
It's got to match up to the job. And you know, the DISC style is probably the second one. And again, those don't really change. But the competencies needed, and that's that third thing in the TriMetrics DNA, is that list of competencies. If you see somebody who has maybe have a couple of the tops, we usually do 7 in a benchmark. If you have people already there or close to it, awesome. If you don't, then maybe that's how you identify how to develop somebody. And we kind of did that last month when we talked about developing people, right? Like what skills do they need to develop? But that was to me more to be successful in that job. But if you're trying to get them ready for another job, then that might take on some more competencies.
And I think it really helps the boss. It helps them to see all this comparative data and where any specific competencies that people need to really build up. And a very targeted development plan can be put in place to make sure that, let's say, they're targeting filling this promotion role, because let's say hypothetically somebody's retiring, and you can get them ready. If you know within 3 years this person's leaving, you can start developing that person real time.
Yeah.
And it's very powerful, very powerful.
Yeah. The competencies, like Martha said, can be developed. That's a coaching opportunity. You don't have to be good in all of them, but the ones that are needed for that job, that's what you want to focus on and get better at. So,
right.
Yeah, I think that's probably the best way to build a bench. But the other thing we were going to talk about today is, you know, well, what do you do in the meantime with just general, maybe individual contributors that you want to develop, maybe to start leading, you know, maybe they start being a team lead or a supervisor. And, you know, one of the things that I look at, I go back to that competency list. And before I start with managing others, I like to talk about, you know, self-management, self-leadership. Can you lead yourself, you know, through daily life? And if you look at the, you know, at the screenshot or at the screen share, I just real quickly put in a couple of ones that I would focus on, like for this person. I think resiliency is really an important thing for self-leadership. If you fall apart when things don't go your way, you're not ready to lead other people. You know, you're not ready to receive feedback and things like that. Flexibility is another big one on that, is like, because you're going to have to start dealing with different behavior styles and different jobs that these people are doing. And you're going to have to treat them differently and maybe ease up if you're very rigid on how you want things done, because people do things in a different way and they're not always bad. It's just different. And then goal orientation is another one that I would use for self-leadership. If you can set goals and reach them, you're showing that you can manage your life, you know, manage your day to day, and that gets you ready to help manage others. Are there others, Martha, on your list, on this list, that you would pick out for kind of self-leadership?
Well, I know you have flexibility in there, but another one, particularly coming out of COVID for me, and it's too small, I can't see it, but agility, you know, that ability to pivot when you need to pivot and rebound, like you talked about resiliency.
Yeah.
Because as leaders, every day you're having to discern, is this really a priority that we need to be focusing on right now or not?
Yeah.
So that self-management, Cindy, that you were talking about is really important from my perspective for potential leaders to be able to have that discernment to be successful.
Yeah. And I would add self-starting on this. This is an example of one of my clients.
Initiative.
Self-starting is number two for him. Being able to not wait for your boss to tell you what to do, but, you know, to really be able to take initiative, very much like you said, by yourself and move the ball forward. Without having to be coaxed or prodded or carroted or sticked, you know, whichever way that gets you motivated.
And I'll tell you what, that resiliency, I had a situation years ago where somebody really didn't have a lot of resiliency, but they got promoted into a pretty big job And guess what happened? They failed. And, you know, there's certain soft spots that you really got to be looking for. And the value of this is it's giving you data as a business owner to make really, really on target decisions about hiring the right people and promoting the right people into these jobs.
And to your point,
it's
makes
not
it
an
more
emotional
fair.
Decision.
It makes it more fair for that employee too. To if they're ready mentally, you know, they have the competencies, they also have the right motivators and all that stuff to make them be successful instead of just, you know, and I always go back to the examples of a sales force, you know, somebody who's great at sales gets promoted to being the sales manager where they have to do all this paperwork and, you know, goal setting and all this other stuff for other people when they just want to go out and sell, you know, and they fail at that.
Yeah.
You know, it's meant to be a promotion.
They do.
Give them a bigger area to sell in, you know, give them a higher bonus, like whatever, but stick with what they're good at.
Right. Right.
So
excellent.
Setting up, you know, I think that leads us to kind of setting up career paths. You know, what is the next logical step? Sales leader, you know, individual salesperson to sales manager might not be the right path, or your path may need to fork, right? Those who love the process and that kind of stuff, maybe they would be good sales managers, but those who actually love the interaction, the winning and all of that. So if you keep people's talents in mind, not even their talents, but the job family,
dreams.
Keep them in mind when you're building a career path. What's the next logical step that doesn't completely make you have to take a different person for that role? Mm-hmm. How can you build a path that would naturally flow if they developed more competencies that they could be part of instead of having to change their disc style? And all of a sudden they go from being outdoors and meeting people into a dark room and coding. It's not ever going to work. You know, that's
not transferable skills there.
Yeah. So keep, you know, when you're creating paths, keep those motivators in mind for sure. You know, do they still get to help other people, or do they still get to learn? Like, what is this job? What did you find out in the job benchmarking process? And how can you elevate that job without requiring a whole different person? And maybe you can't, you know, maybe you can't do that, but you're probably going to have to take somebody from a different department or outside the organization if the job's going to change so much in that career path.
Yeah, exactly.
That's
exactly.
That's a lot to ask of a business owner or an HR director to think that far in advance. But if you can, you know, create these paths, then you have this never ending bench of people. And when you're interviewing people, you can say, here's the first step. And then what comes next could be this direction or this direction, just depending on your interest.
Right.
Or maybe it's a straight path, like the family tree that goes straight up, you know?
And when you think about it in terms of being that business owner and wanting to grow the business, I mean, who doesn't want to grow their business? Then you really do have to look at the people component of that. So that's why you have people like Cindy and I that can come in and help you take a look at, kind of step back and look at the bigger picture, that if you double your sales, then what impact is that going to have on your staffing?
Mm-hmm.
And then who do you currently have in a role that could step up as a leader that you want to give due consideration to? So you can actually be thinking, even in a small business, a year out, a year and a half to 2 years out, and really put some systems in place so that you don't get caught flat-footed when it's time to start hiring and promoting people.
I think that's such a great point. And I'm thinking of one of my biggest clients right now is a client that had a small business, but they are investing a lot of money and having success and scaling it. So they needed help with their managers, and the managers used to all be in the same room and could talk to each other. Now they're in different buildings with their own staff. And so in order
Big change.
To bring these people up. And they had to bring some people in, but for the most part, everyone I've worked with, it's going on 3 years now, has been promoted. They have people underneath them, and some of them have managers underneath them. So it's amazing to see, but we have to keep their disc and driving forces in mind all the time as well. It's got to stay in the same general ballpark.
Right.
We're just adding really competencies now, how to manage people, all those things that we've talked about, you know, give them the training they need to work on their EQ. That's one that we didn't really talk about in this session because it's a separate assessment, but the higher level, higher up you go, the more your EQ needs to kick in. And that's one that you can develop, like competencies, you can develop your EQ, and the, you know, the more capacity you have in your self-awareness, your self-regulation, your understanding of others, the more successful you'll be as a leader, because those technical skills aren't usually as important. So,
And not to repeat the obvious again, but it's important that you remember that behaviors and motivators really don't change a lot except for major life events. So Cindy's right. You've got to really pay attention to what motivates them to get out of bed every morning and be excited to come into work, and what behavioral traits do they have to really be successful in a new role. You can't ignore that ever.
No.
You just
and
can't.
I think when you talk about getting resumes from people, that's the skills. It's not
right.
There's more to it, you know? So that's why job benchmarking is so important, because it takes more than just their resume, their skills. I'd much rather match up on driving forces and disc than skills, because like we've been saying, skills can be taught.
You can develop them.
Can't make somebody love to learn if they don't want to learn. You can't make them love to be generous to other people. That's not what they, you know, what they love. They want to do what they love.
That's right.
Martha, I don't know what we're going to talk about next month or next week, but I think this has been a fun series of, you know, especially those high S's that love to plan. Here's a way to do that with assessments. As much as you can benchmark jobs, so you know what needs to happen in the future, whether it's from somebody from the outside or the inside, and then develop people along the way to be ready to step up as you expand and grow and dominate the world. That's maybe what we should sell as world domination.
Oh yeah, there you go.
All right.
Not everybody wants that, though.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Not all D's, right?
Right.
Commanding D's. All right. Well, thanks everybody for joining us. Again, you can find us, if you're an audio listener, find us on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, anywhere you can find podcasts. You can always go to DiskyChicks.com, and we've got a list of all of our episodes there, and you can just click and listen, and you'll be able to see the video of this and see our graphics over on Facebook at Disky Chicks Podcast. Anything else?
Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for listening to the Disky Chicks Podcast. Never miss an episode by subscribing today. To learn more or start a conversation with Cindy and Martha, visit the Disky Chicks Podcast Facebook page.